Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, if you've worshiped with us at all this summer, you no doubt know that we've been making our way through some of the most beloved hymns here at Mount Olivet. And I hope that this series has provided an opportunity to add some depth and some texture to these tunes and texts that we love to sing. I have to say that personally, I've been surprised by just how much more there is to each one of these hymns than I initially thought. Some of the ones that we've done over the course of the summer have long been favorites of mine, and so it was a joy to be able to dig a little deeper. And other hymns, well, they're okay. But whether I came in loving the hymn or just kind of feeling meh towards them, each week there has always been something that's been surprising. So that's been kind of fun. And I have to say that this week's hymn is no exception to that rule. Even though this isn't my most favorite hymn, I think the Reverend McLean picked this one, I will say it's been edifying. It has helped my faith to dig a little deeper into Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. The tune that we just sang, Ode to Joy, is no doubt familiar to many of you in its own right. It comes from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It is the official anthem of the European Union. It was played by some of the Chinese student protesters during the Tiananmen Square protests in the late 80s. And of course, it shows up in Die Hard, the official, unofficial Christmas movie. Ode to Joy is this beautiful, joyous piece of music. But this morning, I kind of want to fasten our attention on the text for this morning's hymn. And we're just going to set the tune aside, as great as it is. This morning's text comes from the author Henry Van Dyke. And as Pastor McLean was delighted to note in this week's Gospel Unplugged video, it is assumed that Van Dyke's inspiration for this hymn comes from time that he spent in the Berkshire Mountains in western Massachusetts, which Pastor McLean has roots in and he's happy to tell you about often. And while this text beautifully celebrates the wonders of creation, like you might see in the Berkshire Mountains, it struck me this week when I was working with it that this hymn is not so much about creation, but it's more about our relationship with God. And I never really noticed that before. Maybe I'm just a little slow, but did you notice how many of the metaphors, while they are squarely rooted in the natural world, are each inviting us to think about who God is and what God does for us? Like in verse 1, check this out. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee their sun above. This is about our hearts. Yesterday, as Beth and I, my wife, were doing a little yard cleanup, we came around the side of our house. And she said to me, "Did you know that those plants flowered?" And I was like, "No, I've never seen those flower before. Seems like they're new this year." And it got me thinking that there are moments in our lives where, like these surprise gorilla flowers in my side yards, our hearts just kind of unexpectedly are opened up. It's like our hearts reach out with open arms, ready to take in something new or beautiful or holy. This past Friday, my family and I attended a movie for the first time in I don't know how long. For sure, it's been since the pandemic. And what did we go to see all together? No, we went to see Barbie. I lost. I came in with zero expectations because I, truth be told, never really liked Barbie all that much. My only core memory about Barbie from my childhood was at some point as a kid, I thought it would be funny to steal all of the clothes from my little sister's Barbies and hide them in my closet. We'll unpack that one at a different time. Anyway, so I had zero Barbie expectations. But there were a couple times during the movie where I found myself kind of overwhelmed. And maybe it was because I was watching it with my wife and my daughter. Maybe it was because I wasn't always the kindest big brother. See previous story. Maybe it was because I was watching it with my son, who I hope and pray will be a better version of me. But to quote John Wesley, another great hymn writer, my heart was strangely warmed while watching Barbie. Like my cold, curmudgeonly heart unfolded a little bit. And I found myself saying, thanks, God, for this moment to be with my family, but also a moment to think a little bit about who I am and what my role is in this world, and to change and hopefully grow a little bit. All right, so in stanza 3, we haven't sung this one yet. It's coming. But this one is a gold mine. Once again, Mr. Van Dyke, the author of this hymn, fixes our gaze on the natural world, but does so to help us experience the vastness, but also the nearness of God. Who is God? Well, according to this verse, God is giving and forgiving. God is the source of all blessings and goodness. God is this wellspring, this deep reservoir of all of the joy in life. God is like the unfathomable depths of the ocean. God is where we are promised this unending and blessed rest. And then this, I think, is the payoff of this hymn. Here's why sometimes it's a really good idea to sing all of the verses of a hymn. I know we don't do that a whole lot around here. But in this case, all three, kind of this is the payoff. Thou, our Father, Christ, our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. We have this God, you and I, this God who comes close. We have a God who gets up in our business. And as much as the beauty of creation might inspire and delight us and bring us these moments of peace and calm, what we need, what we have, is a God who shares our life, who lives and breathes as one of us. In Jesus, because God becomes one of us, he lives this life, experiences both the joy and the beauty, but also the crushing heartache and pain that can be part of human existence. God knows what that feels like. God occupies our flesh and our blood so that this stuff, our flesh and bone, might become somehow a vehicle for God's love to flow through us into this world. You and me, we get to be part of God's family so that we might know the joy and the love that God has for us and might find ways to share that love with others. This is the God whom the whole creation invites us, calls us to sing praises of. I want to close with a poem that was written by Henry Van Dyke, today's hymn author. It was a poem that was read at Princess Diana's funeral, but I want to close with it because I think it is this beautiful expression of the truth that we who live in God live in God's love today and forever. The poem is called Time Is. Time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is not. Amen.